This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, the issue of I want to some extent maybe touch again on what we spoke about in the last lesson, and that is the importance of istighfar and tawbah, because without that nothing else is possible. Istighfar and tawbah are the things that clean the slate, and not just clean the slate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to replace our sins with good deeds, so it cleans the slate and it loads it in our favor, but that is provided we do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, we sent no messenger but to be obeyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's leave and Allah's will. If they, meaning the hypocrites, when they had to be unjust, when they had been unjust to themselves, which is whatever they were planning and plotting and so on, had come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and begged the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messenger, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had begged forgiveness for them, indeed they would have found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all forgiving and most merciful. Now this shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to make tawbah and istighfar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do it and Allah will forgive you inshallah. So when we make istighfar, we must do it with this yaqeen inshallah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. There is no doubt about that inshallah. But the important thing is to do it, not just talk about it, or never to lose hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us inshallah. There are two steps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. Allah said, then ask forgiveness of him and turn to him in repentance. Certainly my Rabb is near and he is responsive. So istighfar and tawbah are both used interchangeably, and they mean tawbah. When you say tawbah, it also means istighfar. But specifically, if you look at the two words, istighfar means to be repentant and to be contrite and to be ashamed of what we did and to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the person is in istighfar, when he is making istighfar, he is addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is saying, Ya Rabbal Alameen, O Allah, O my Rabb, O the Rabb of the universe, forgive me because there is no one who forgives except you. فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ. Please forgive me because there is nobody who forgives other than you. So with this understanding and with this intention, the person is begging and seeking forgiveness. Now having done that, and inshallah, as I mentioned, with the complete and total certainty that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu forgives. After doing that, then what must you do? We have to change our ways. Because if I was going on a path where I was disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq, I got this realization that what I was doing was wrong, and now I want to change myself. So what is the first step? The first step is to own up and accept that I need change and I am seeking the forgiveness of Allah. Now what is the second step? The second step is to change the path. Because if I was going on one road which was leading to disaster, obviously I must change the road. It makes no sense for me to continue on the same road and say, I'm sorry to be here, I'm sorry to be here, I'm sorry to be here. At the end of it is disaster. Whether you are sorry or not sorry, unless you change the road, unless you turn around, unless you take the exit, unless you get off that highway, which is the highway to Jahannam, you will end up in the same place. Whether you are sorry or you are not sorry makes no difference. Second point is that it is a lie to yourself and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that you are sorry and refuse to leave the path. It makes no sense. Because if I am actually sorry, then why don't I change my ways? Because I'm saying I regret having done this, and then I still do the same thing. So that is very important for us to ensure that we do these two things. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ Make, seek forgiveness of Allah and then turn towards Allah. Meaning change your ways. Take the road, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, take the road of istiqamah, take the road of steadfastness, which leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About seeking forgiveness, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who, when they have committed fahisha, when they have committed especially things of a shameless nature, which is zina, which is adultery, which is promiscuity of any kind, which is pornography, which is all kinds of shameless things, or they wrong themselves with evil, which is any other kind of sin, they remember Allah and ask forgiveness for their sins, and none can forgive sins but Allah, and do not persist in what wrong they have done while they know. So the point here is, again the same thing, that no matter what you did, irrespective of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning specifically some very serious matters. Yet Allah is saying, despite that, once you realize that you have been doing wrong, do two things. Number one, own up to that, repent and seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is, change your ways. Get out of that way of life. Right? If you were selling haram, stop selling haram. If you were dealing in an interest-based business, get out of that interest-based business. Make the niyyah and get out of it. If you had a house or something on a mortgage and you were paying that, you didn't realize it at the time you got it, you didn't realize this was haram. Now you know, what must you do? Same thing. Make istighfar, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, because there is no one who can forgive except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then get out of that. Take your name out of the list of the enemies of Allah. Put it back where it was originally, which is in the list of the awliya of Allah. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that tawbah is our need. This is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is samad. He is free from all needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to make tawbah for our benefit. Right? So, the state of repentance is at the, this is from Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya's book, Madarij al-Salikin, where he says three things. Number one, he says the state of repentance of tawbah is at the beginning, the middle and the end of all states of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second, so it means that tawbah is not something that you just do one day and that's it and you have arrived. No, this is something that we constantly keep monitoring ourselves. Istighfar and tawbah is something we continuously do all our lives, because this is the nature of our lives. We are constantly committing some sin or the other, whether it is a serious sin deliberately done or done by mistake or something, or it is something which is not a sin as in the context of something that attracts punishment, but it is still a sin as in the, for example, ghaflat, for example, a state of heedlessness, a state where we live as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist in our lives, where we indulge in various things which may not be haram, but at the same time we waste our time, we talk all kinds of useless stuff, not necessarily haram stuff, because again, if you're doing ghibat and so on, that is haram. But even if it is not that, just pointless arguments and pointless discussions, like most of the political discussions that we have, they're absolutely zero value or worth in any of that. But we do. Now, at the same time, having done that, we are human, these things happen. So if it happens, now what must we do? Continuously, as soon as I become aware of that, instantly seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, make istighfar, and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get out from that company, stop doing those things. So it's a state of repentance. I repeat what Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayh said, the state of repentance is at the beginning, the middle, and the end of all states of submission to the will of Allah. Second thing he said is, the slave who seeks the pleasure of Allah never abandons tawbah. He remains in the state of tawbah until his death. Whatever his state of belief, the slave makes tawbah his constant companion. Right? So this is something that he does. Now, whatever his state of belief, meaning even when you are feeling very strong in your deen and iman, still you make tawbah. Right? There's no time that we do not make istighfar and that we do not make tawbah. Number three, tawbah therefore is at the beginning and the end of his servitude to his creator. His need for tawbah at the end, just as at the beginning, overrides and supersedes all other needs. So the need for tawbah is more important than the need for food or shelter or wealth or family and children and whatnot. Because all of those things, all the other needs that we have are, number one, transitory, and number two, they are temporary. So we have this need and it goes away. And irrespective of what it is, even if we get it, there will come a time when we will give it up, when we will lose it, when we will leave it. And therefore, that need cannot be more important than the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, which we need constantly in this life and in the life to come thereafter. If we do not have the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is the greatest calamity. So therefore, we must continuously seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, Allah said, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah said, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together and make tawbah, O you who believe, so that you may succeed. Now if you think of this ayah, again Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says that the ayat above is contained in a Madinan surah, which is Surah An-Nur, which was revealed in after Madinah, after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's migration to Madinah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people of Iman. Allah is saying here, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you who believe. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. If you want success, Allah here is addressing the believers, the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ, who were the best of his creation. Right? After the Anbiya, the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ have the highest status among all human beings till the end of time. Yet for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah. So it shows us how important tawbah is. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make tawbah. He calls upon them to make tawbah, the sahaba, and therefore by reference to us, turn in repentance to him after they had already believed, gone through hardship, trials of faith, executed patience, migrated, and they had fought in jihad. So Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said that these people, the Sahaba of Rasulullah, they had gone through all the stages. They had suffered in the name of Islam. They had stood steadfast and firm in the face of all kinds of opposition. They had suffered loss. They had invested their time and their money and their energy in the propagation of Islam, in the protection of Islam. Despite all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them, make tawbah. Make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made success conditional on perfecting such tawbah, as the effect is often conditional on the cause. No one can hope for success except those who make tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and reward Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayh for this beautiful advice. He continues and he quotes the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And those who do not make tawbah are indeed the zalimun. They are indeed the transgressors, the oppressors, and the wrongdoers. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides his slaves into two categories only, the repentant and the wrongdoers. There is no third category. Allah calls those who do not make tawbah zalimun. He calls them people who are doing zulm on themselves. So wrongdoers and transgressors. And no one is more of a wrongdoer and a transgressor than a person who does not repent for his or her evil actions. Right? Rasulullah said that all the children of Adam alayhi salam, they are, all of them are khata'un. There are people who do khata. There are people who do, who sin, who make mistakes, who commit sins. And he said the best of them are the tawwabun. The best of them are those who make tawbah. So if you commit a sin, I don't mean here to say that it's okay. It is not okay. Sin can never be okay. So we are not trying to discount the seriousness of a sin. We are not trying to discount the seriousness of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are saying that it is not the end of the world. It is not something that will destroy you, except if you want it to destroy you. And how will you say you want it to destroy you? Because after committing the sin, you do not make tawbah, you do not make istighfar. After committing the sin, we still insist on it. We still, we say, no, I did not sin and this is not my mistake and somebody else made me do that and what. And we justify the wrong action and we insist on the wrong action and we repeat the wrong action. When we do that, then we are destroying ourselves. So it's not the sin that is destroying me. It is my attitude towards that sin. It is what I do with that sin which is destroying me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O people, make tawbah to Allah by Allah. He took an oath. He said, by Allah, I make tawbah to him more than 70 times a day. And this is the hadith in Bukhari. His companions, the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, used to count for him in each congregation. He's saying 100 times. He used to say, my Rabb, forgive me and accept my repentance, for you are At-Tawwab and Al-Ghafoor. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make this tawbah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also reported to have said, no one will be rescued, no one will be saved on the Day of Judgment by his deeds. And the Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, even you? And this is also Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She asked him, even you, Ya Rasulullah? He said, even I, unless Allah grants me his mercy and grace. Now think about that. The two beautiful lessons here. First and foremost is the humbleness and the humility of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Somebody who Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala assured, somebody who Allah declared that I have forgiven you everything that you have done or will do, everything is forgiven for you, right? And then again, if you look at it, when we say whatever you have done and will do, it's not as if Rasulullah ﷺ committed some major sins. These people of Darajat, people of great status, for them even to blink their eye, there may be a question associated with that. Whereas for us, it is nothing. So, with Rasulullah ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that whatever it was, whether it was, an instant of ghafla somewhere or something, Allah has already forgiven you. Despite that, Rasul, and he had this assurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. This is the ayat of the Quran which we recite. Now, despite that, Rasulullah ﷺ said, I will not be saved by my deeds. I will be saved only if my Rabb has mercy on me. So this shows the humility of the Nabi alayhi salam. The lesson for us is, how much more humble do we need to be? Because he had the guarantee, still he says that, which guarantee do I have? What guarantee do you have? Right? We've got no guarantees. And we walk around as if forgiveness is our birthright. Believe me, it is not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds that control. If he wants to forgive, he will forgive. If he doesn't want to forgive, he won't forgive. And there is nobody to question him about that. So that is the reason why we need to keep on seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first lesson is the humility of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second lesson is that therefore it is something that we should do, which is to make istighfar and tawbah. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it 100 times or 70 times in a day, imagine how many times you and I need to do it. Right? Again, it's not a matter of counting beads. We have to consciously do this with full intent and with a firm intention that we are seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi also said that Surah Al-Fatiha is tawbah. I remember I have recorded a whole series of Fajr reminders on that ayat by ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to implement that in our lives. Now, Tawbah is the return of the slave to Allah. It is also his turning away from the path of those with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry and those who are astray. We asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said, Hadina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْضَّالِينَ. So therefore, I must look at my path, I must look at my life, and I must see what signs do I have in my life. Does my life have signs of anamta alayhim, or do I have signs of غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْضَّالِينَ? Right? Do I have signs of مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ and the dolly? People who Allah was angry with and people who are astray. What signs are there in my life? This returning, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Rahmatullahi, he continues, this returning cannot be done except by Allah's guidance to the straight path. The slave will not attain guidance except through Allah's help and his own submission through Tawheed. Surah Al-Fatiha explains this concept in the most complete and eloquent manner. So therefore, the thing to understand here is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to turn towards Him, for example, if we find that you are praying in the masjid, if you find that you are listening to some beneficial lecture, if you find that you get the tawfiq to wake up in the night for tahajjud, you find that your thoughts throughout the day constantly revolve around or turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anytime you see something good and beautiful, you say, subhanAllah, see the creation and power of my Rabb, and so on and so forth. If there is any difficulty, you find that you are not moaning and groaning and complaining, but you have sabr, you behave with dignity, and you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. If you find all of these things happening in your life, you must be very, very happy and must say, Alhamdulillah, my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu wants to guide me. And therefore, work even harder for that guidance. Right? Don't disregard that guidance. Always listen to the heart in this context. If there is a good thought in the heart, always do that good thought. For example, you went to the bathroom, you came out, and the thought is, let me make wudu. Then the counter thought comes, oh, but you know, this is just dhuhr time, there's another 4 hours to asr, maybe my wudu will break again, maybe I want to have a nap and the wudu will go again, and so on and so on. I will make wudu at the time of asr. Right, now think about this. Make wudu was one thought. Now what is wudu? Wudu is ibadah. So if you make wudu, you are doing ibadah, you are getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is going into your account. On the day of judgment, it will be there for you. Right? Well, if it breaks again, make again. So some more reward and some more benefit in your book of accounts. On the other hand, if you did not make wudu, it is not a sin, it is not haram. So you didn't make wudu. At the time of asr, you made wudu and you went for asr. Khalas. However, supposing it was decreed that you are going to die before asr. So now what happens? If you had wudu, you would have died in a state of wudu. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, somebody who dies in a state of wudu, inshallah, Allah will forgive him and give him jannah. So you would have died in a state of wudu. But if you did not have wudu, you still died at the same time. But you died without wudu. Now which is better? That's why I always do this to myself, and I'm reminding you also to do it. Which is, any time you get a good thought, follow the good thought. Right? Don't fight it. Do not fight it. If you get a bad thought, fight it. But if you get a good thought, and then you get this other, within quotes, dalil, from shaitan, don't follow the dalil. Follow the heart. I just read a beautiful thing of Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. The father of Mufti Taqi Usmani and Rafi Usmani, Dawat Barakatuhum, Mufti Shafi Sahab says that his father, one day he said it was raining very heavily. So he said, I prayed Salatul Fajr, it was at the time of Fajr, he said it was raining very heavily. So I prayed Salatul Fajr at home. He said, but my father went to the masjid. Right? He said, after he came back from the masjid, he said, my father said to me, that I know you will give me the fatwa to say that praying at home because of the heavy rain is permissible. But he said, if all the ulama act only according to the fatwa, who will act according to taqwa? Right? Now think about this. I mean, this is such a beautiful thing. Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Ali was one of the greatest ulama of the Indian subcontinent. So he says, my father gave me this nasihat. He said, my father said to me that if all the ulama act only according to fatwas, then who will act according to taqwa? Right? Where is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I want to go to the house of Allah. It is raining. Let it rain. Alhamdulillah. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to protect me and I will go to the masjid. And I will pray in the masjid. Now again, we are not saying if somebody is praying at home, we are not saying he is doing haram. No. There is a ruksa. But if we look for only the ruksa, if we look for only the conveniences and only the ways through to do the least, this minimalist thinking, we will end up with no deen at all. Yeah, this is one of the collective opinions on which all the ulama of all the madhabs, the Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, Maliki, all the madhabs, all the ulama are agreed upon, that if a person seeks conveniences, seeks ruksa from each madhab, he takes something from here, he takes something from there, he takes something from there, he is only looking to find shortcuts and loopholes, then this person will have no deen at all. Right? He's not following any madhab, he has no deen at all, he's lost his deen, because he is simply looking for loopholes. And if somebody is looking for loopholes, where is the deen? Where is the deen? Because if you really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about this, any issue in this life, if we have a minimalist stance towards it, it can only lead one way, and that is downhill. It cannot be beneficial, because anything which comes with a minimalist stance cannot bring about any goodness. That is why we must look for the best, for the most. The amazing thing is that we do this in everything in our lives. In academics, whether a student studies or not, which student will say, you know, it's okay, I don't want a first class, I don't want a university rank, some third class rank I get, it's okay. Nobody will say that. He may end up getting that because he didn't study. That's a different issue. But he won't. That is not what he's aiming for. Right? If somebody gets a job in a company, nobody will say, you know, I don't care. Let me get a job as a sweeper. Let me get a job as a doorman. And my whole life I will spend opening and shutting doors. And my career will be sweeping streets. Nobody, anyone who joins in the smallest of jobs, his goal will be to become the CEO of the company. Even that may never happen. Obviously, that doesn't happen to the vast majority of people. But that is what he's aiming for. I want the best job. I want the best car. Right? Best that I can afford. The best that I can afford. Nobody says, oh, as long as it has four wheels. No. For everything in life, we want the best. A spouse, I want the best spouse that I can get. Right? Children, I want the best children. I mean, you think about this. For everything in life, we want the best. When it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want the least. What does it say about our iman? What does it say about our iman? Oh, I'm praying. Oh, I'm giving zakat. What more do you want? Allah doesn't even want that. So don't even give that. If you think you are doing an ihsan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please don't. This ihsan is not required. So very important for us to take stock and to make sincere istighfar and tawbah. The final thing on which I want to end today's class is where about Suratul Fatiha, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, he said, whoever appreciates Suratul Fatiha and gives it its right estimate through knowledge, contemplation and reflection upon its facts and by living its directives, will realize that one cannot recite it with the true recitation of a slave unless one makes sincere istighfar and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Suratul Fatiha is called the Surah of Istighfar wa Tawbah ila Allah. Do reflect on Suratul Fatiha and see how Suratul Fatiha is the Surah of Tawbah and Istighfar. It's a very beautiful thought with which I want to leave you today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you and me to a state which pleases him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to always live a life which is pleasing to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do what he likes and to save us from that which he does not like. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.